Hello, I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOL. The way tourism companies in Juneau can take advantage of city-owned trails and parks is getting an update. A new city analysis recommends changes that, if approved, would allow companies to operate on some popular trails that they haven't been able to before, while others would stay off limits. KTOO has more. It's no secret Juneau is a special place. After all, there's a reason people visit here. The nature. Anyone with a map or a phone can walk from the heart of downtown Juneau and within 10 minutes be completely engulfed by the rainforest. Or they can pay someone to take them there. Soon, visitors may be able to take guided tours of a few places that, up until now, have been off limits for tourism companies. New guidelines for how Juneau's Parks and Recreation Department manages the commercial use of trails and parks could open up a few more areas for guided tours. That has some residents concerned, but the city has been tracking that feedback. Earlier this summer, the department held public meetings across town to collect local input. This is Parks and Rec Director George Schaff at a meeting last week.
We hope that the analysis that we've been able to pull together digested and reflects those comments that we received and is something that the community can support.
He says the new guidance is overdue. The last time guidelines were updated was 2 decades ago. And the proposed revisions come as city officials and residents grapple with what role cruise ship tourism should play in Juneau's future. The update, if approved by the Juneau Assembly, would take into account the impacts tours could have on the natural environment and local users. It gauges whether an area is high or low usage, and then it regulates things like the group size allowed, restricted days, and hours of operation. Linda Pringle is with Corvus Design, which helped develop the analysis. At the meeting, she explained that most trails won't be affected by the revision.
Approximately out of the 50 or so miles of trails that the CBJ manages through the Parks and Recreation Department, only about 15% of those are actually going to be open to commercial use.
The recommendation would revise tourism rules at 13 locations across town. 3 of those would be locations where tourism companies haven't been allowed before, places like Under Thunder Trail and Telephone Hill Park. Some residents expressed frustration with the commercial tourism already on trails and parks and worried more of it could lead to overuse. Kathy Coghill, a North Douglas resident and active trail runner, testified at the meeting last week. She's nervous about more people using the trails.
I'm just concerned about the physical vulnerability of the trails and making sure that we assess their current status and make sure they're healthy and okay before we start thinking about adding volume of visitors.
But some trails would be saved for just Junoites. The new plan designates 38 trails and 24 parks that would be off limits to commercial tourism. That includes historical hotspots like Perseverance Trail and Sunshine Cove. But individual tourists can still go to them on their own accord. And there's still trails that the city doesn't manage that could be open to commercial use. The recommendations still need to be vetted by the Assembly, which has the authority to make changes. And residents will have another chance to comment. If the new plan is approved, companies would need to apply for permits to operate on certain trails and parks. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson. And as Kenai Peninsula school board members mull the best way to restrict student cell phone use, 3 schools offered reflections on the policy they've already implemented. As KDLL's Ashlyn O'Hara reports, principals and teachers say strict limits have created positive results.
The first year Shania Warner started working as an administrator in the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, it was as assistant principal at Skyview Middle School in Soldotna. Coming from a smaller school, she says Skyview opened her eyes to how pervasive student cell phone use was.
I saw students in classrooms making videos. I saw students texting their friends during class, and I saw teachers who were very frustrated trying to teach. We knew we needed to make a change.
Now, Warner is the school's principal. After taking the helm, she surveyed teachers on cell phones. She says there was unanimous support for restricting phone use in classrooms. So they did. Students were only allowed to use their phones at lunch. Warner says student behavior improved, but there were still problems, particularly with students sharing inappropriate pictures during lunch.
We kind of put our students on restriction, meaning that for a week they couldn't use cell phones at lunch, and then it happened again, so it was the entire month you couldn't use cell phones. And that was when we really noticed the big difference, like that we could see that this made an impact.
This school year, Skyview made the no-phone policy permanent. Students have to keep their cell phones in their lockers during the school day. Warner was one of 3 principals to share her observations on stricter cell phone policies during a school board work session Monday. Along with staff and students from Nikiski Middle High School and Homer High School, she says the restrictions have been a positive change for her school. Proponents of total cell phone bans say they distract from classroom learning and foster social isolation. But others say they can be a valuable educational, safety, and communication tool. Joel Burns teaches at Skyview. He says he's seen a lot of changes since the school banned phones. For one, he says he no longer uses classroom time to police student phone use.
It had gotten to the point where it was really whack-a-mole in the classroom. I generally have pretty good classroom management, but it still was a headache.
And he says students don't seem super bothered by the change.
I don't hear complaining. What I do notice in the lunchroom is a lot more kids socializing instead of going to a table and putting their face in a phone for 30 minutes and not interacting.
Skyview 8th grader Stephen DeMartelabin says students are better off without cell phones, but he acknowledged that other students may feel differently.
There's many mixed opinions. If you pick the right group, they'll agree that phones should not be used or it's better without them, but some groups would rather have them for bad reasons or good reasons.
Like at Skyview, Nikiski Middle High School principal Michael Crane says the school's new cell phone policy started with a survey of school employees. Those teachers similarly said cell phones are a distraction in class and that something needed to be done. The school site council, district administrators, and a student leadership group vetted the policy. Crane says students appreciated being included in the conversation.
They said if you would have told us the first day of school, we probably would have revolted. But since we gave them more warning the year before that that was going to happen, they were like, it really wasn't that bad. And they're having more face-to-face discussions throughout the day and at lunch times.
The school has different policies for its middle and high school students. Middle schoolers have to keep their phones in their lockers for the whole school day. High schoolers can use their phones during lunch and passing periods. Crane says the school is preparing students for life after high school. Part of that preparation is teaching students when it is and isn't appropriate to use phones. Shania Weathers is a senior at Nikiski Middle High. She told board members students should be allowed to use cell phones in school, but she also supports limitations on when and how they're used.
They are not just communication devices. They are essential tools for learning, planning, productivity in the work environment, and for safety at school. That said, I fully agree with the argument that it is easy for students to misuse their phones. The goal should not be banning phones, but finding a balance.
During the board's regular meeting later that evening, multiple school board members said the testimonials from school staff and students were helpful. Here's Kenai Representative Sarah Dothit.
There was so much good cell phone talk today, a lot of good things and good data that is really, really showing of the policy that needs to be tightened up and unified in our district. So I'm really excited to see where that goes.
The board hasn't drafted any policy revisions yet. But moving forward, members say input from school staff, students, and parents will be important. Monday's board work session will be available to stream on the district's Board Docs website. Meeting materials in the district's existing cell phone policy can also be found there. Reporting in Soldotna, I'm Ashlyn O'Hara.
And Republicans in the Alaska House have formed a 19-member minority caucus and elected Anchorage Representative-elect Mia Costello as their leader. The outgoing House Speaker, Wasilla Republican Kathy Tilton, will serve as minority whip. The caucus announced the news on Saturday. Alaska voters elected 21 Republicans to the House, but two moderate Republicans joined independents and Democrats to form a bipartisan majority caucus in the chamber. The organization of the 19-member minority means that, barring any changes, the Democrat-heavy bipartisan majority caucus will have no wiggle room on the contentious votes, and slim margins could prove challenging as majorities seeks to boost school funding and reform public employees' retirement benefits. Costello said in a news release that she was, quote, honored to lead the all-Republican minority. She spent 4 years in the state House and 8 years in the state Senate, ending in 2023. She will replace Republican Tom McKay, who did not seek re-election. First on the list is, quote, delivering affordable, reliable, Alaska-sourced energy to secure a stable future. Next is education, ensuring stable funding, school choice, and measurable outcomes. And the last is, quote, advocating for responsible budgets to protect the permanent fund dividend and safeguard the state's financial future. Lawmakers convene for the first session of the 34th Alaska Legislature on January 21st. And it's rainy in Juneau this afternoon, and rain is continued to patter down later tonight as well. The low is expected to be around 40 degrees tonight. Rain is likely again tomorrow morning, afternoon, and evening, with a high near 44 and a low of around 41 degrees. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO.